For like, you should
adaptive experimental designs, again, for optimum dose finding in phase one clinical trials. And my co-authors are Dariusz Uciński and Anthony Atkinson. Okay, this is forward, you say. So here's the plan of the presentation. Perhaps the introduction will be a bit shorter than I expected because of my previous previous talk we've heard. Then I will tell you what dose response model I will use and what optimality criteria for the design. There will be two approaches. One I will call ethical approach, and the other will be efficiency of estimation approach. They don't necessarily are the same. And then some comparison of the optimum designs using simulations and some conclusions. So Newton is watching, so you better deliver. Introduction, clinical trials. What is the clinical trials? These are experiments on humans or actually on living animals if the drug is going to help the animals. To explore a proposed treatment for a disease and to obtain a license for the commercial use of the treatment on non-experimental patients. There are several phases. What I will show you is a very rough division of the phases, but more or less, I suppose that's how it is. Phase one, and that's what this talk will be about. Perhaps phase 1B or something, more than phase one, but anyway. This is first in human, usually small studies, to understand pharmacokinetic parameters and also to find a dose for further exploration in phase two. These often are done on the healthy volunteers, but sometimes on patients, depending on the drug which is explored, and so some of the drugs are not ethical to be used on healthy volunteers, and patients are getting into the study already in phase one. Phase two, these are larger studies already certainly on patients. And then there is to examine evidence of a drug effect, often compared to placebo. Phase three, very large studies on patients to further refine the dose selection. And phase four, post-marketing clinical development, see how the drug really works in real world. Okay, so we will talk about adaptive designs. What is an adaptive design? This is a citation from a paper of the pharma group. The goal of adaptive designs is to learn from the accumulating data and to apply what is learned as quickly as possible. In such trials, changes are made by design and not on an ad hoc basis. Therefore, adaptation is a design feature aimed to enhance the trial, not as a remedy for inadequate planning. Okay, so there are several main features of design here. Of course, adaptation is the main thing, which is, in a way, said here, the information is gathered sequentially. After each step of the trial, the statistical model is updated. If we have a model, of course. In this 3+3, the decision is updated. Next step of the trial depends on all of the results up to date. And the trial is stopped when the goal of the experiment is achieved, or we just run out of resources. As I said, I will talk about phase one study problem. As already mentioned, it is to establish pharmacokinetic parameters to find a safe dose for further studies. Here we have a typical graph of a PK curve, concentration of a drug in blood or plasma, and some parameters like the shape of the curve or the area under the curve or the time to the maximum concentration. These are of interest to the clinicians. Here is a typical plot for the dose response models. You see here two. This one is the efficacy curve. These are probabilities, I should say, first. On this axis is the probability of efficacy or toxicity in this case, and here's dose. So with dose, in this case, both are increasing. Toxicity slowly, efficacy quickly, which is fine. And then we might be interested in something called maximum tolerated dose, where Katrin was talking about. So that would be the maximum one where the probability of toxicity is below some level. Okay, that's here. So as I already said, it's usually assumed that both curves are increasing with dose. And then the maximum tolerated dose is searched for. But there are some cases where it doesn't necessarily is the case. That may be that with increasing dose, actually the efficacy is decreasing, or is unimodal. First it is increasing, but after some point, some critical point, the efficacy is going down. And these are the models which I'm more interested in here. And actually, I will present the example of the dose-efficacy relationship being unimodal. Although what I will talk about can work equally well for other cases. Okay, so after the paper of Zhang and others, we consider three possible responses to a given dose, Y0, which is so-called neutral response, no efficacy, no severe toxicity. Y1, efficacy is present and no severe toxicity. So that's what we want. Y2, there is severe toxicity, so you may call it a disaster. And we assign probabilities to all these responses, psi. Psi 0, psi 1, psi 2, accordingly to y0, y1, y2. Psi 0, we assume, will decrease with dose. So no efficacy, no severe toxicity is natural that we assume it's decreasing, or no effect in general should be decreasing with dose. Psi 1, the probability of efficacy and no severe toxicity may have various shapes. I will show the example of the unimodal. Where is this here? I will show you an example of this, but it may be decreasing unimodal or increasing. And I think that's most natural to assume that probability of toxicity is increasing with dose. Psi 2. And of course, all of these have to sum up to one. The continuation ratio model, that's what I will look at. That's the model here. You can see with some parameters. And when you solve this model with respect to the probabilities, you get such nice nonlinear formulae, which give us shapes of these curves, of the probabilities of responses. So they depend on some parameters, alpha 1, beta 1, alpha 2, beta 2. So what's here on this axis, in all these three graphs, are the probabilities psi. Psi 0, blue. Psi 1, red. And psi 2, green. And various three different scenarios you see here. And here is the scenario where psi 1 is unimodal. And that kind of scenario I will show in more detail here for the simulations. So you see here toxicity is growing quite quickly. And depending on the parameters, you can get any kind of shapes like this. Okay, so now optimality criteria. We want to have a good design. So we need to specify a criterion for this design. And we will compare three criteria here. The ethical criterion, which determines so-called biologically optimum dose. How do we define this? That may have various definitions depending on the the purpose of the experiment, and then adaptive D-optimum design and so-called penalized adaptive D-optimum design criterion. First, the ethical approach. And this is again after the paper by Zhang and others. They define the criterion in the following way, by two functions delta, delta 1 and delta 2. Delta 1 is basically the indicator function, which will be equal to 1 if the toxicity is below some level pi 0, and 0 otherwise. So that's delta 1. This is a condition which will give me the set of axes, which is actually set here. This will be my design region. The set of all doses for which this condition is met, which means that the probability of toxicity is below pi 0, which was 1/3 in Katrin's talk. And here will be 1/3 as well. And delta 2, this is this BOD. X maximizing this will be a BOD. So this is the difference between the probability of efficacy minus probability of toxicity with some parameter lambda. That may be 0 or whatever you like. I will take it equal to 1. So that's what we are after. The argument of the maximization of delta 2 over the region C, which is defined here. And here is the one single simulation for this criterion. I need to say a few words here. We assume that we don't want less than 25 cohorts. Here, cohorts are of size 3 in this example. And that we will not continue for more than 50 cohorts. But we will stop if we've got at least, when we've got exactly 15, if between these two numbers, if we've got 15 cohorts who got the same dose which was at each step of simulation of the trial found as BOD. So that's quite a complicated stopping rule here. And what happens here? Here we have doses on this axis, so a lot of doses, fine grid. And here are cohorts. You see we've stopped at 40, not at 50. So in this single simulation, we've got less cohorts than the maximum allowed. And that's why, because 15, these blue dots here, these are the cohorts who got this dose, which all of these were estimated as BOD, but that this one repeated 15 times. So we thought that must be the good dose. We stopped the trial. And this dose here, this dose will be recommended for next studies.
What do you do with the parameters?
Which one?
Your optimality criterion was still dependent on parameters.
We yes, of course. We estimate the parameters using the Bayesian approach for estimation. After each step of the trial, there is an estimation of the parameters. Of course, it must be. Otherwise, we wouldn't have found this dose. Thanks for the question. So what we can see here is... that's the same thing, but shown in a different way. These doses now are here. So this is like a histogram, sort of counted doses. So we've seen that this was the most often chosen dose as the BOD. And these curves are the curves for the two parameters which we assumed for the simulation. And this yellow strip here shows me the area actually is here, which is forbidden in the way, and the way is this pi zero value for these two curves. So this should be 1/3 here, this point here. So these are not allowed, although because We estimate parameters in each step. Sometimes this pi zero changes. Sorry, not pi zero, the C of X changes. Yeah? Pi zero is fixed on one third. So the allowed region changes with the estimation. So it may happen that we get some toxic, that we get some doses whose probabilities are over one third. That's possible. But anyway, that this picture is not bad. The other approach, the efficiency of estimation approach, and here we use the we worked on based on the Dragalin and Fedorov paper. They used d-optimum design, adaptive d-optimum design, restricted d-optimum design, penalized the adaptive d, and they found out for the model, which was a bit different than this, that the penalized adaptive d worked best among theirs. So what we've done now, we just looked at adaptive d and penalized adaptive d. So that's the adaptive d. The criterion, as usual, determinant of the Fisher information matrix. And here, we have similar plot for the single simulation. And that happens what we would expect. The only thing which I have to mention here, which I forgot last time, that these jumps of doses are sort of regular because we assume that we cannot jump more than some distance in the dose. So without this skipping limit, this would most likely jump from here straight to here. So for the safety reasons, we did this skipping limitation. So it goes up more slowly. Then goes down. So it keeps here. It can go down quickly. That's not a problem. It's going up. Yeah. It goes down quickly and then goes up slowly and keeps here and so on. So it tends to be that the doses are either these very low doses or the very high doses, which we would expect for the optimality to get. And the final recommended dose is this, and actually none of the patients got it. So after the whole trial, which used all the possible cohorts, 50, we recommend a dose because we estimate the parameters, we can calculate BOD, but none of the patients actually got it. And here is the graph, which shows that indeed the same thing. These are the proportion of the doses, the lowest dose and the highest dose is in this region where the probability of toxicity is high. So this is no good. That's why they proposed the penalized criterion. And here it is. They do this similar way. It's the Fisher information matrix determinant, but scaled. What is phi? That's phi. That's an integral over phi, small phi, which is a penalty. Small phi is a penalty function. Where is this thing? Here. That's the penalty function. Depends on two extra parameters, CE and CT, for efficacy and toxicity. And various shapes of these functions are shown here, depending on CE, CT. And this case would penalize for high toxicity. This case would penalize for low efficacy. Low efficacy may be on both ends in unimodal case. Okay? Low doses and high doses may give you low efficacy in the unimodal case of the efficacy curve. And this one, the third one, is for such parameters which penalizes for both toxicity and low efficacy. This is a different scale, so don't please be misled by this picture. So we used that one for our example. And here is the picture of a single simulation. It behaves a bit differently. More people get doses in the middle here, and that's how it was distributed. And so that's much a better picture than pure D optimality. Still, none of the patients got a dose which was finally recommended for next stage. So we've got some comparison of this criteria, and I have to hurry now. This is, on the left will be always the ethical approach. The middle will be adaptive D. Right will be penalized adaptive D. In all pictures, I will show you. So you see here, this is the estimation of the parameters. This is not good. The red is true. The green is mean of after 100 simulations. That's not very good. This D works very well and penalized D quite well as well. Ethical approach wasn't too bad for the other two parameters, alpha 2 and beta 2. But anyway, as we would expect, the purpose of D is estimation. So it must give us better results than anything else. Here is the size of a trial. Because of the stopping rule, we may have different size of a trial. Again, please don't be misled. This is 1 here, in here, and 0.4 here. So for the ethical approach, we could stop early quite a lot of times, while for the D, we couldn't. So this is much more, indeed, ethical, that one. Now, we've introduced two other measures. I'm too quick. This is just a design which we looked at over the whole simulations, all simulations. So these are the doses and these are the weights, sort of cumulated weights over all simulations. And these are the designs, so called average designs in this case. That's the ethical approach. It's spread around the middle. Here, it's similar as to what we've got to a single simulation. And here, this is a much better picture, but again, these low doses are perhaps used too much. Then we introduced two other measures, numerical measures, after Hardwick and others. It's not the same, but it's very, very similar, and the idea came from the paper, which is to predict future losses based on the terminal decision. We use this function delta 2, which gives us the BOD here. And if you have the ideal situation that all people in all simulations get the best dose, this will be delta 2 at BOD. This will be 1, and only 1 k. All other k's will be 0. D will be 1. If this spreads, of course, this will be less than 1. And here's another one, sampling efficiency, which instead of the weights, we looked at the expected number of cohorts on the dose K, and this is also between 0 and 1. And what we get as the result is that for the D criteria, the measure, for this measure, which actually tells me about the recommended dose, we get that the efficiency is very high everywhere. For D, even higher than the other one because of the very good estimation. But the gain from the actual experiment is highest here, patient-wise. So that's indeed showing the ethical approach. And the final picture here is that we simulated responses, of course. So we looked at the proportions of responses over all these 100 simulations. How many were toxic, efficacious, or neutral? And that's what we've got. A group of, there's a group in sort of one site, toxicity, how far is from that corner? I mean, the farther the better. Yeah. And here's a bit more spread for adaptive D. And here, this doesn't look too bad here. But this is, of course, that depends on the curves of toxicity, yeah, on the model very much. Okay, so conclusions. For ethical approach, this is more relevant when in phase one we have patients rather than healthy volunteers, because we want the patients already have some gain from the trial. Then they are treated with the efficacious doses. Some information on the response to this best dose is already gathered. So if we want to work on this particular dose further in phase two, we already have the prior information. And then there's potentially fewer doses or non-efficacious doses. In the efficiency of estimation approach, this is more relevant for healthy volunteers, where we are more interested in the exact shape of the dose response model. Parameters are more precisely estimated. A body is more potentially toxic. So if toxicity is not such a high issue, that might be a pretty good approach, particularly the penalized one. And further, what we could say, that to define a proper criterion is just an extremely important thing. Model-based simulation studies may be helpful for making decisions about the criterion, about the possible problems. And other thing which we would like to pursue further is adding some pharmacokinetic information to which anyway is collected in phase one studies, and this might improve the dose finding efficiency. So the further studies are being discussed, as you can see here. That's Maciej's work, a discussion with me a couple of days ago. And the apple is still growing. Thank you very much.
There's time for just one quick question, comment.
It seems to me that the parameters aren't nearly as important as the estimates of probability. So could you think about an optimality criterion that would be more like an I-optimal criterion for minimizing the average?
We cannot hear the question.
I'd like to minimize the average variance of the probability estimates instead of just estimating those parameters alpha and betas.
We haven't looked at that, but that may be worth doing. Yeah, we will now think also about C optimality for the variance of the best dose. But this, what you say, may as well be important, and that's something to look at, I must say. Thanks for your suggestion.
Maybe we have to go on and postpone the discussion. So thanks, Pasha.
Sorry, I was so long.